to continue to read in Psalm 77, you're just seeing this demonstration of remembering the wondrous works of God. But if you just kind of walk back through, what are some of the statements that would be related to, synonymous with remembering the wondrous works of God? What's some of the activity that Asaph participates in remembering the deeds of the Lord? Synonyms for remember. Meditates, that's right. So that's verse 12. Meditate on your mighty deeds. Ponder all your work. And then he's declaring, I think you're seeing him making mention of a thing. If we go back to what the definition of that word, he says, I'm going to remember your wondrous deeds. And then in remembering them, as he ponders them, as he meditates on the mighty deeds, then you're hearing him make mention of what he's meditating on. That's verses 13 and following. You're holy. Who's like you? You're great. You've worked these wonders. You've made known your might. You've redeemed your people. On and on he goes to remember the wondrous deeds of the Lord. And so Asaph is both calling us to this command to remember, and then he's demonstrating what such remembrance looks like and what it prompts in us of praise and what it requires of us to not just call to mind, but to ponder it, to meditate on it. That would be the type of remembrance we're talking about in this. And one more cross-reference for the wondrous works of God, Micah 6. Anybody remember where Micah is? Yeah, after Jonah, that's right. And how do I remember that? Yeah, that's right. You knew I was going. You remember that I always refer to that song. And I have to start with the shouting part when it's ever, you know, related to the prophets. So I go to Isaiah. And I'm like, Isaiah, Jeremiah, let me see. Micah, very good. Micah 6:5. Oh, my people, remember what Balak, the king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. And so there's this this call at the end, knowing the righteous acts of the Lord. And so you're calling it to mind, the wondrous works of God, the righteous acts of the Lord, the events that God has done that we ought to ponder, that we ought to meditate on and delight in. So then it's interesting. In the Old Testament, what event are the people of God to remember of the wondrous works of God? What specific event is keyed in on the most, do you think, in the Old Testament to remember? The Exodus, that's right. And so how about in the New Testament, if we go to think upon and remember God's power on display, where would we go often in the New Testament to remember the wondrous works of God? The resurrection, that's right. And so it's very interesting to see this deliverance in the Old Testament that the people of God are called to throughout often to remember the Exodus. And then in the New Testament, there's this call to remember the resurrection. But just kind of imagining how our time will be used here. Those cross-references there under the Exodus would just be certain examples of places where we're called, where Israel is called to remember how God redeemed them, brought them out of the Exodus. Let's just go to Deuteronomy, not look at all of these, but just go to Deuteronomy 7. Okay. This is going to help you see how when we think rightly, because we're remembering, we're calling to remembrance, and we are making mention of a thing, when we have truth in our minds, like a Philippians 4:8 kind of realities here, this is what we're to think upon. And when we're thinking upon truth, it's going to help us to think rightly, act rightly. And so here in verse 17 and 18, you're seeing how such remembrance serves the people of God well, because they're tempted to think in a way that's not accurate. So verse 17, if you say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? So as they're thinking of, you know, going into to the land. How's this going to be possible? Our enemy's greater than us. What are we going to do? These nations are greater. How can I dispossess them? Verse 18 says, you shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. The great trials that your eyes saw, the signs, the wonders, the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. So will the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. Okay, so verse 17, these nations are greater than I. How am I to think in light of that truth? Think upon the Exodus. Think upon what God did in delivering you from your enemy, what God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt, the great trials you saw, the signs, the wonders, God's mighty hand, the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. That's what they were to remember. And these weren't things they initially, even those, it's not just hearing about these things. This is also for those whose eyes saw this act. Remember what your eyes have seen is what they're told earlier in Deuteronomy. And so the issue of the Exodus, the events, God's wondrous deeds are to be on the minds of the Israelites to so that they will give praise to God and they will live in obedience to his commands and trust him because of what they remember, what they know to be true about him, what they have in their minds and what they have on their lips about the wondrous works of God. And so what your eyes have seen, and then you're to declare it to your children and your children's children, so they too remember the wondrous works of God. Okay, let's move to another category then. Not only the wondrous works of God, but the commands of God. So it's very important that the people of God would remember what God has required of them. So his wondrous works, certainly to be remembered. The commands of God, also to be remembered. And so Exodus 20, and you're thinking even the command to remember the Sabbath day, and even observing the Sabbath was an act of remembrance and thinking through what God did in creating the world in 6 days and resting on the seventh. And so the command to Israel to remember the Sabbath day, that's a command there to remember, but even in that command, there is an act of remembrance going on. But let's jump over to Numbers 15. Numbers 15:39. Look at these tassels that are objects of calling to mind memories. Verse 37, Numbers 15. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the people of Israel and tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations and to put a cord of blue on the tassel of each corner. And it shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord, to do them, not to follow after your own heart and your own eyes, which you are inclined to whore after. So you shall remember and do all my commandments and be holy to your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Rich truth here. Let's work backwards. That this truth that must be understood and believed and lived in light of is that verse 41, this declaration from God, I am the Lord your God. Moving back verse 40, the command from God to his people, he is their God, and his command to them is that they obey him. You shall remember and do all my commandments. That's the command. And so verses 37 through 39, this is that object lesson that they're to have these tassels on their garments that are to bring to mind the commandments of God. And the purpose for bringing the commandments of God to mind is verse 39. It shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord, to do them, not to follow after your own heart and after your own eyes. So the reason why it's good that this would be on their mind is so that they would be obedient to the commands of God. And so that the tassels will remind you of the commandments of God so that you'll obey them, so that you'll do them, so that you will not trust in your own, lean on your own understanding, follow your own heart, follow your own eyes. No, follow God's commandments. So they're called to remember the wondrous works of God, remember the commandments of God, the commands of God. Let me just check one off too that's out of order here, but just because we're not going to go to all these cross references, that you're hearing hearing of the commands of God. And also there are places in the Old Testament where the command of Moses is even instructed to the people of God to remember what Moses has commanded of them. But don't see those two things as, you know, at odds. Like, the commands of Moses are the commands of God to God's people through the mouth of Moses. And so the commands of God, what Moses commanded, both of those are issues of remembrance for Israel. So remember the commands of God, remember what Moses commanded. Exodus 3:15, really important here, just to even see, let's not lose sight of what really is to be on our minds, on our thoughts, on our lips. It is, in fact, the Lord our God. So Exodus 3:15, starting back 13, Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations.'" And so God's people are to remember the Lord, their God. He is the Creator, he is their God, he is the one true God, and he is to be remembered. So, wondrous works of God, commands of God, remember the Lord your God, remember the promises of God. So, this omniscient Creator, all-powerful, sovereign over all, who has commanded of his people, has also made promises to his people in the covenants that he has made with his people. And so 1 Chronicles 16 reminds the people to remember the promises of God. If you're able to turn real quick, if you don't get there in time, I'll just read it. But again, you're hearing this call to remember. 1 Chronicles 16:15, "Remember his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations." And so you're to remember his promises. And we were back in verse 12 just a few minutes ago of that same chapter, as David's singing this song to God, this hymn of praise. We're to remember the wondrous works of God, and then later in verse 15, remember his promises. Remember the covenant he has made with his people. Okay, so on down the list, wondrous works of God, commands of God. Remember that he is, in fact, the Lord your God. Remember his promises. Remember what he has commanded of you. And then let's go to Psalm 103. And again, this is just a survey, not a comprehensive study of all of the Old Testament calls to remember. But one other issue of remembrance for God's people is to remember his benefits. Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." So really a contrasting statement here. What would be the opposite of forgetting not all his benefits? It would be to remember all of his benefits. So remember the benefits of God, the blessings of God upon the goodness of God on display on the people of God. Bless the Lord for his many benefits. Okay, so much to remember in the Old Testament. Let's move now to the New Testament and look at what we're told there about what is to be memorized on our minds and to make mention of these things. Matthew chapter 16, verse 9. So I just categorize this for what it is. You're reading about one of the miracles of Jesus. And I guess I can just jump right in Jesus' words in verse 8. "Jesus, aware of this, said, 'O you of little faith, "Why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And so the miracles of Jesus, that's what he calls to their mind. They're to remember what Jesus did, and thinking rightly here in regards to this issue of warning about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he's saying, don't you remember what I did related to actual bread here, verse 9? Do you not remember this miracle? Okay, so remember the miracles of Jesus. Remember the words of Christ. So actual statements said. Let's go to the Gospel of John. John 15:20. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. On and on I could go. But he's telling them to remember, a servant is not greater than his master. Remember that word that I said to you. Remember the words of Christ. Stay in John, just go over to the next chapter, 16:4. But I've said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. And so they're going to think rightly in the midst of these events as they think upon what Jesus said to them, and they bring to mind the words of Christ. They remember what Jesus taught. So they're to remember the words of Christ. Jump over to Acts chapter 20, Acts 20:35. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so here in this apostolic instruction, the call is to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. And then actual words of Christ are brought to remembrance. How he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Interesting even to walk through in the New Testament of Old Testament events that are brought to mind. So even Lot's wife is to be remembered. We don't have to go there in Luke 17, but the lesson that is learned in the love for the world that cultivated a disobedience to God's commands on display in Lot's wife, that's to be remembered. And so as there's instruction being given, there's just this real short verse. You know, really, I guess if you're working on like scripture memory, that's actually a very good verse for you if you're looking for a easy piece of candy there on scripture memory. It's remember Lot's wife. I think if I'm remembering that correctly, I believe that's all that's in that verse. Let me see if I'm right there. Yeah, verse 32, remember Lot's wife. That's Luke 17:32. So that would be one of just an Old Testament event that we benefit from remembering, calling to mind as we think upon the example she was, the bad example in her love for the world and her unwillingness to obey the commands of God. Okay, the church, believers are called to remember the poor. Go over to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2:10. I really just sometimes jumping in the context here may not be as easy to do. But in verse 10, you're saying, only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. And so as Paul is interacting on his ministry and what he has been tasked with, and there's this responsibility given to him by the others, you're hearing in verse 9 of these pillars of the faith, these apostles, these leaders in the church, James, Cephas, and John, who seem to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me. They give the right hand of fellowship, and this instruction of what he is to go and faithfully do in his ministry. And part of what he was to do was to remember the poor, the very thing that he was eager to do. It's interesting as you walk through testimonies that are given, examples of when we're thinking rightly about who we were prior to coming to Christ, and then the new creation that we now are in Christ, there's this exercise of remembering our condition apart from Christ. So in Ephesians 2, verse 11, after we just have heard what our verses often remembered easily, the memorization of Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, thinking upon our saved by grace through faith alone, this testimony of conversion. And verse 11 says, following that, verse 11 says, therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We do well to remember the amazing grace of God and what our condition was apart from Christ, and how there was no hope. Boy, those are strong statements. Having no hope outside of the promises of God, separated from Christ. That's our condition prior to being saved. And so we're to remember that. Remember your condition apart from Christ. Let's just keep moving. Remember what conversion has produced in you, this work of God in your life. Where if we remember our condition apart from Christ, we're also to remember the work that is being done in us. And so the fruit on display, you know, we could look at 1 Thessalonians as well, but let's just go ahead and just do the 2 Peter one, because he keeps saying, remember, remember. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. You can kind of just hear the fruit of the gospel, the work that the Spirit of God does in the hearts of those whom he saves. 2 Peter 1, just 12 through 15. 2 Peter 1, 12 through 15. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. Though you know them and are established in the truth that you have, I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. And so in verses 3 through 11, you're just hearing of this work that God has done in the hearts of those whom he saves. And so Peter has listed out this the work, the godliness, the work of God in the hearts of his children. And then he says, therefore, I always want to remind you of these qualities, what it looks like to walk in faithfulness to God's commands. I'll remind you of these qualities, stir you up by way of reminder. We are to think upon the fruit of conversion in the life of a believer and the work that God is doing in us, thinking rightly about the Spirit's work in the hearts of his children. Okay, so think upon that fruit. Think upon the example, the apostolic example. Think upon, we're just reading there from 2 Peter, but just we're to think about the example that God gives us in not only just leaders in general. Later in Hebrews 13, we're told to remember our leaders, but we're also to remember the example of the apostles, the godly examples of the apostolic witness. So Acts 20 can serve as our cross-reference there. Acts 20, 31. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So this clout that Paul has earned with them, remember my testimony to you. Remember what I endured as I labored amongst you. The genuineness of Paul's faith and his love for the brethren and his ministry to them is to be remembered. And so we are to be godly examples to others so they can follow our example as we follow Christ, and that involves remembering such examples. And so this apostolic example is to be remembered. So too, their life, but also their doctrine. So remember their life, apostolic example. Remember their doctrine, apostolic teaching, their apostolic message. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. After referencing some deceptive teaching, verse 5, he says, "Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things?" And so Paul's message to the church at Thessalonica is, I taught you the truth. This is error that is being promoted. Think rightly by remembering what you were taught by me. So remember the apostolic message. Remember the apostolic instruction. Very much related to our whole study on Christology, 2 Timothy chapter 2 just tells us in a very short and concise but very profound way, if you think about it, remember Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 says, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel." So in that statement, Paul is connecting both who Jesus is, as his name is mentioned, remember Jesus Christ. So we're referencing, we're thinking through Jesus as Savior by his name Jesus. Remember that he is the Christ. He is the anointed one. He is the Messiah. He is our prophet, priest, and king, as we were teaching in Christology. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. So the work of Christ, his resurrection, is drawn to mind as we think upon Christ being risen from the dead. Remember the humanity of Christ. As Paul says, remember the offspring of David. So remember the deity of Christ, the humanity of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the work of Christ, as it's all connected to very much being a gospel issue. We don't understand the gospel if we don't understand Christ. And so he says, remember Jesus Christ as preached in my gospel. And I already said it briefly a few minutes ago, but one of the other places where we're told to an issue to remember is that we are to remember our leaders. And so I think that connects even thinking through how we walk as a healthy church in honoring our leaders, listening to and submitting to leadership. And so there's just this call to remember our leaders. Okay, so with very little time left, I just really was encouraged by this. I want to read just a couple statements from, again, Thomas Watson in The Great Gain of Godliness. I think what he's doing is serving us well on the issue of remembrance. And here's what's wild. This entire book, which was apparently something that Spurgeon absolutely loved, Watson's sermons on Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. And you're thinking, I don't remember Malachi 3, 16 through 18, or I don't. At least. This whole book is Watson's sermons on that text. And so I'll just read one verse to you real quick, just to kind of show you how thoughtfully he thought through, carefully he thought through this passage. Malachi 3:16 says, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him on those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name." And so Spurgeon apparently lost these sermons, and he thought he'd never see them again, but I don't really know how they came to light again, but somebody found Watson's sermons, and then Banner of Truth served the church well in publishing his sermons on Malachi 3 sometime in our lifetime, really, probably. But in Malachi 3:16, Watson is thinking through, the godly man is described as one who fears the Lord and esteems his name. So verse 16 says, "Those who feared the Lord and spoke with one another are those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name." So I'll just read a couple statements here so you can get a taste of what Watson sees as a benefit to remembering Christ. He says to think upon God, there are many arguments for thinking rightly upon God. So here's what he says. What sort of thoughts should we have? What should the matter of our holy meditations be? And so he lists over a dozen. He says, think upon God's immense being. And then scripture's given. Think upon the works of God, as we talked about. And then he provides scriptures there. So think upon his immense being. Think upon the works of God. Think on God, that he is indeed our maker. Have frequent and devoted thoughts of God, because that demonstrates the genuineness of your faith, the sincerity of your faith. So think upon God frequently. Think upon his being. Think upon his works. Think upon who he is, that he is your creator. And have these thoughts frequently, as that demonstrates, gives assurance of the genuineness of your faith. Fifth reason, thinking much on God cures the love of the world. So it's kind of that expulsive power of a new affection kind of reality. He spends a lot of time talking about all of the vain things and the vile things that can be in our thought life. And what he's saying is, man, if our thoughts were on God, we wouldn't have our thoughts upon these vile and vain things. And so he's just saying, thinking upon God would cure the love of the world. Watson goes on to say, thinking on God would be expulsive of sin. And then he goes on to spend a long time reminding us that thoughts are sinful. Sinful thoughts are sinful, and sinful thoughts will be judged. And so he's just saying, boy, thinking on God would be expulsive of sin. Thinking on God is an admirable means to increase our love to God. If you're thinking, man, I'm struggling to tune my heart to sing God's praise. What do I need to do? How can I increase my love for God? And the thoughts here are, think upon God, think upon his perfections, and think upon his works, and that will cultivate and produce in us a greater love for him. One more, thinking on God will by degrees transform us into his image. So as we think upon God, if we're called in the scriptures to grow in godliness, to be godly, we're told as we think upon God, that would be a means of grace by which God might cultivate in us greater growth in godliness. So those are just eight of the many benefits of thinking upon and remembering God as an application of Malachi 3:16, where we're told that the godly are characterized by those who fear the Lord and esteem his name. And I'm seeing esteemed his name as really synonymous with our subject this morning, making mention of and calling to remembrance who God is and what he's done. So we are to be people that are full of memory, call to remembrance what the scriptures would call us to remember, put off those things that are not worth remembering, and make room for what we are to remember, that which is worth remembering. And may such remembrance prompt us to praise God, to obey him, and to serve him all our days. So maybe that'll even inform our praise today as we sing together. May we think carefully upon who God is and what he's done, and remember as we go from here the greatness of our God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for these truths that we're reminded of as we walk through, just tracing some of the calls in the scripture to the commands in scripture to remember who you are, remember what you've done, remember how we are to relate rightly to you, to remember what we were apart from Christ, to remember who Christ is and what he has accomplished, and to remember the work that is being done in us by the power of the Holy Spirit, to remember the way we're to relate rightly to one another in the life of the church. So much to remember. And so we're so thankful for your word that we can go to it to think rightly. May we be in your word more, so that we would increase in our love for you as we grow in our remembrance of you. We do love you and thank you and praise you for this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.